clapped his hands as the lid was lifted off their box on his birthday. He immediately set them up on the table. All the soldiers looked exactly alike, except one. He looked a little different, as he had been cast last of all. The tin was short, so he had only one leg. But there he stood, as steady on one leg as any of the other tin soldiers on there too. But just you see, he'll be the remarkable one. On the table with the soldiers were many other playthings, and one that no eye could miss was a marvelous castle of cardboard. It had little windows through which you could look right inside it, and in front of the castle were miniature trees around a little mirror supposed to represent a lake. The wax swans that swam on its surface were reflected in the mirror. All this was very pretty, but prettiest of all was the little lady who stood in the open doorway of the castle. Though she was a paper doll, she wore a dress of the fluffiest gauze. A tiny blue ribbon went over her shoulder for a scarf, and in the middle of it shone a spangle that was as big as her face. The little lady held out both her arms, as a ballet dancer does, and one leg was lifted so high behind her that the tin soldier couldn't see it at all, and he supposed she must have only one leg as he did. "That would be a wife for me," he thought. "But maybe she's too grand. She lives in a castle. I have only a box with 24 roommates to share it. That's no place for her. But I must try to make her acquaintance." Still as stiff as when he stood at attention, he lay down on the table behind a snuff box where he could admire the dainty little dancer who kept standing on one leg without ever losing her balance. When the evening came, the other tin soldiers were put away in their box, and the people of the house went to bed. Now the toys began to play among themselves at visits and battles and at giving balls. The tin soldiers rattled about in their box, for they wanted to play too, but they could not get the lid open. The nutcracker turned somersaults, and the slate pencil squeaked out jokes on the slate. The toys made such a noise that they woke up the canary bird, who made them a speech all in verse. The only two who stayed still were the tin soldier and the little dancer. Without ever swerving from the tip of one toe, she held out her arms to him, and the tin soldier was just as steadfast on his one leg. Not once did he take his eyes off her. Then the clock struck 12, and clack! Up popped the lid of the snuff box, but there was no snuff in it, no. Out bounced a little black bogey, a jack-in-the-box. "Tin soldier," he said, "will you please keep your eyes to yourself?" The tin soldier pretended not to hear. The bogey said, "Just you wait till tomorrow." But when morning came and the children got up, the soldier was set on the window ledge. And whether the bogey did it or there was a gust of wind, all of a sudden the window flew open and the soldier pitched out headlong from the third floor. He fell at breathtaking speed and landed cap first, with his bayonet buried between the paving stones and his one leg stuck straight in the air. The housemaid and the little boy ran down to look for him, and, though they nearly stepped on the tin soldier, they walked right past without seeing him. If the soldier had called, "Here I am," they would surely have found him, but he thought it contemptible to raise an uproar while he was wearing his uniform. Soon it began to rain. The drops fell faster and faster until they came down by the bucketful. As soon as the rain let up, along came two young rapscallions. "Hey, look," one of them said, "there's a tin soldier. Let's send him sailing." They made a boat out of newspaper, put the tin soldier in the middle of it, and away he went down the gutter with the two young rapscallions running beside him and clapping their hands. High heavens, how the waves splashed and how fast the water ran down the gutter. Don't forget that it had just been raining by the bucketful. The paper boat pitched and tossed, and sometimes it whirled about so rapidly that it made the soldier's head spin. But he stood as steady as ever. Never once flinching, he kept his eyes front and carried his gun shoulder high. Suddenly the boat rushed under a long plank where the gutter was boarded over. It was as dark as the soldier's own box. "Where can I be going?" the soldier wondered. "This must be the black bogey's revenge. Ah! If only I had the little lady with me, it could be twice as dark here for all that I would care." Out popped a great water rat who lived under the gutter plank.
"Have you a passport?"
said the rat.
"Hand it over." The soldier